Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Easter Sunday service at Burwood Morning, Grace Point. It's great to have you join us. My name's Owen, the pastor of our morning service. Special welcome to you if you're new or visiting us for the first time. On the morning of September the 11th, 2001, I remember waking up and turning on the TV in my living room. I'm not sure why I did that. You know, I don't do that these days. I turn on TV as soon as I wake up. But for some reason, I turned the TV on, and I remember, you know, standing there in the living room being transfixed on the TV screen as the footage was being replayed of the United Airlines plane and the American Airlines plane, both individually diving head first into the North and South Tower of the World Trade Center. It was an unbelievable scene, one that should only be played in Hollywood. It belonged in a Hollywood scene to be seen at the cinemas. And it was a hard to believe event. And it's only the repeated footage, the seriousness of the journalists, the vision of the buildings collapsing in a burning heap and rubble communicated to me and to everyone else that this was no joke. It was the biggest attack on America, on American soil, in their history. It was a hard to believe event confirmed by the facts of the rising death toll of the rubble, the fire. And as we celebrate the resurrection this morning, Easter Sunday, 2,000 years after the event of Jesus' resurrection, it's important for us to appreciate also that this resurrection event was a hard-to-believe event. It was a most unexpected thing to have happened. You know, we all know that dead men don't rise. We all know that those who are crucified, who've been speared in the side, who've been buried, stay dead and stay buried. And we should appreciate the fact that the first followers of Jesus did not expect Jesus to rise. They didn't expect Jesus to die. But they expected Jesus to enter Jerusalem, to be welcomed as God's anointed king. They expected Jesus to usher in a new era where God's kingdom and God's spirit would rule over his people. But even less, they didn't expect that the crucified Christ would rise. It was the last thing on their minds. And it's in this context, see, that the women actually went to the grave. We're told that a number of women, those who were followers of Jesus, who had supported him in his ministry, who had followed him all the way from Galilee, they were there. They watched the crucifixion from a distance in deep sorrow and grief and shock. And at his burial, when Joseph of Arimathea took Jesus' body down, they also went with him. So we're told here in chapter 15, 47, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. They followed him to his grave. And those who saw his burial were also the first to witness the empty tomb. Early on Sunday morning, which was the third day from the day Jesus had been crucified, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, they bought spices the previous day, and then on the Sunday morning, they arrived at the tomb. And they came in a state of grief and sorrow. They came to give their last respects. It was part of the Jewish custom to wrap a body linen and to anoint it with spices. And they didn't have a chance to do that on the day that Jesus was buried. So as soon as they were able to, they themselves came. And they were so focused on coming to the tomb with their spices, they forgot one small detail. And the question they asked each other is this: who will roll the stone away when we get there? It's a massive boulder. Who will help us to do this? But when they arrived, to their great surprise, the stone was already rolled away. The stone was rolled away. And I can imagine them quietly and suspensefully walking in to the opening, ducking their heads in to see what had happened. And when they look inside, not only was Jesus' body gone, but there was a man, a young man in shining white clothes sitting there. And you can imagine the deep shock. They were alarmed. They were alarmed. Some years ago, I went on a ghost tour with some church friends from a while ago, and this is at the Manly Quarantine Center. I think they still do ghost tours there. And the reason why they do ghost tours is that over 100 years ago, it was a quarantine center for those who were sick or diseased, to protect the rest of the Sydney population from catching those infectious diseases. Over 500 people were died and were buried on that site. There were a number of autopsy rooms, and basically it was a place that became known as the haunted, the headquarters of the haunted. Those who were sick, those who had died, still haunted that place. And so that's the goal of the ghost tour, is to go and visit this haunted place. And I remember, the tour guide was doing a great job. It was dark. He led us into an autopsy room. There was a small table in that room with a white cloth over it. And he was telling us how a clairvoyant, someone who sees ghosts, came to this room and actually felt a presence. And she saw this body sit up and say to her, "Look what they've done to me." And then with a sudden movement, the tour guide pulls the cloth, lifts the cloth and lifts up a shape, and everyone in the room screams. And I, along with them, and the reason why I screamed is that the person, one of the ladies behind me, actually grabbed my arm as she screamed. And so I had to scream as well. And she apologized, but that was fine. But you see, this alarm that the women felt would have been real. As they walk in, what are they expecting? And you can imagine, as they walk in, the body is gone and there's a white shining man standing there. Perhaps they would have screamed. Whether internally or externally, they would have screamed. And even when the man tried to reassure them, and he said, "Do not be alarmed. He is risen. See where they laid him. He is not there." Even when the man reassured him, and this man, as we know from other reports in the Gospels, was an angel sent by God to deliver this message, the women ran away terrified, bewildered, frightened, telling no one because they were still afraid. And this is how the Gospel of Mark ends. And it emphasizes this important point. He said the resurrection of Jesus was the most unexpected event. Dead men do not rise. And this crucified one was gone. And they didn't know where they had taken him. And we need to remember that, you know, this, both in the ancient world as well as in the modern, as well as today, there is no natural expectation that people rise physically and bodily from the dead. Nobody does that. In the ancient Greek world, in their system of belief, they believed that when a person died, the spirit was released from the body. It was actually a freedom. The body is an inferior part of human existence. And so it would be totally unnatural for a person with a Greek worldview to believe that a body would rise. Why would you want your body? Only your spirit would rise. And so Paul, when he talked about the resurrection in Athens, was sneered at. He was laughed and mocked. And even for the Jews, some of the Jews actually believed in a resurrection, but a resurrection that would only happen at the end of time. A general resurrection where everyone would rise and everyone would stand to face God's judgment. They had no expectation that a man then and there would rise physically and bodily from the dead. And as they left, confused. And eventually they would tell the disciples, they would tell Peter. And it's an interesting message that they're given. Go and tell the disciples, go and tell Peter. And Peter is especially mentioned. And it's significant, you know, that this message is given to them to go and tell the disciples and Peter. Because, you see, up till now, the disciples and Peter were in hiding. They had deserted Jesus. They'd run away in fear at his arrests. They had been disillusioned. They had abandoned, and Peter himself even denied that he knew Jesus. And yet now this message from Jesus goes out to them. Go and tell them, I'm going ahead of you, and you will see me. So it's a great word of restoration. Great word to those who were in fear and hiding and abandonment, that Jesus would go ahead of them to see them and to restore them. But the women, as they go to the disciples, and they share what they're told and what they saw, the disciples also don't believe. No, they don't believe it. This is Luke's account of what happened. So when the women came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 disciples and to all the others. So Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. See, it's nonsense. He is not risen. See, it is against our expectation and our belief. And these words are nonsense. In fact, what we know in the first century world is that the credibility or the testimony of women were actually less credible. They didn't have the same weight as male witnesses. And it's interesting that it is the women who were the first witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. And commentators have argued that if anyone wanted to write a credible story that the public would believe, they wouldn't have chosen women to be the first to hear the news. and that they were points to the fact that that's what happened. The women were the first to hear and to believe the news. And it was a gradual process. It was a gradual process of the disciples believing, not just because they had been told, but because of multiple appearances, multiple times in which Jesus appeared to his disciples. If you read in Luke chapter 24 is one of the more extended records of Jesus' appearances. Jesus appears to Peter. Then he appears to Mary Magdalene. Mary thinks that Jesus is a gardener, and then when he speaks to her, she realizes that it is him. And then afterwards, Jesus appears to the 12 and to many others. And this is what Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, what he records for us. He says, this is the message that we have preached from the beginning. This is the at the heart of our message. What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. That is, the message I received as an apostle of Christ, Paul says, is what I've passed on to you. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that is to Peter, and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also as one abnormally born. So this is the testimony of the whole of the New Testament, that Jesus rose from the dead. That Jesus, the man of Nazareth, rose and appeared to many people at multiple times to confirm that he was truly risen. And it was necessary for this to happen. Because who would believe it? The disciples didn't. And so here's one of the direct occasions in which Jesus actually appears. So again in Luke 24, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." So here the disciples are in an upper room. It's locked. They're talking about the fact that Peter had seen Jesus. And then suddenly Jesus appears. And they were startled and frightened, thinking they had saw a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see me. A ghost does not have flesh and blood, as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. So even Jesus standing in front of all of them, they still could not believe. And so Jesus provides further proof by eating in front of them, showing them his hands and his sides, giving them the opportunity to touch him where he was wounded in his own body. And so this is the event that changed the world. This is the event, the unexpected event that changed the lives of these disciples. From being disappointed and sad and depressed, from being fearful, from hiding, it transformed them so that now this is the message they preached. The message of the resurrection. of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, from the dead. And not only did they preach this message, you know, they went publicly. They risked their own lives to do this. In Acts chapter 2, Peter, in front of a crowd of Jews during the festival of Pentecost, he proclaims, he preaches the risen Lord Jesus. See, the unbelievable, unexpected event, he now boldly proclaims at the risk of his own life. And he says, this Jesus has risen and we have seen with our own lives. We have seen him. And not only did they preach, but a number of them died for this same message. And this message that they proclaim can only be explained, we would argue, by the fact that these things actually happened. That Jesus truly rose from the dead. See, was it a conspiracy? Did the Romans take the body away? If so, why didn't they present it? Was it a mass hallucination of hundreds of people? A hallucination of those who weren't expecting or necessarily desiring Jesus to be raised? Was it a conspiracy that was kept hidden? Chuck Colson was one of the leaders of what's known as the Watergate scandal, where this team from the Republicans broke into the Democratic committee headquarters. Five of them actually broke in to gain political advantage, to gain information. And they were finally caught, and Chuck Colson was one of the ringleaders. And he says, as one member of the conspiracy, his personal testimony is that it is very difficult to keep those kind of secrets hidden forever. See, hundreds of witnesses prepared to die, and until their dying breath, a conspiracy kept hidden? Or was it true? Or is what they saw, what they preached, and it is what we celebrate today, the greatest and most astonishing news in human history? The Son of God, who not only died for our sins, but who rose again for us. And as we hear this, let's not take for granted information that may be so familiar with us should still astonish us. It should still change us. It should still give us hope and confidence and trust. Jesus multiple times said to his disciples he would suffer, and after 3 days he would rise again. See, Jesus actually told them, but they didn't believe it. They didn't expect it. But he did, as he said he would. And that is the confidence that we can have in the same risen Lord Jesus. That what he said he would do, what he says he will do, he will fulfill. Even now, as we look forward to his coming again, Jesus said, Jesus has risen. Christ has come. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. And that is the certainty, that is the hope that we have as Christians, as followers of Christ today. That Jesus will come again. And how then has it changed us? How does it change us today? Well, here is the difference that it makes today. See, this is the difference. God has entered our time and our space through his own Son, Lord Jesus. God has entered our time and space. God has revealed himself to us bodily and physically. He's confirmed himself to be the Christ. He appeared to his disciples who saw him, who touched him, and who then proclaimed him. And this is what the Apostle John writes in his letter. It should be 1 John, first letter by John. And this is what he writes. That which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at with our hands, have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. So he says, we saw him. We touched him. We looked at him. And we proclaim him. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. See, God has entered our time and space, and through him he's made it possible now for us to have intimate fellowship and friendship with him. Through the message of the apostles, as we now put our faith in the risen Jesus, and in him we have fellowship with God, and we have fellowship with each other. Our sins have been paid for, and we now have eternal life. Did you realize that? If you have put your trust in the Lord Jesus, your sins have been paid for fully, and you now have eternal life in him. And even when you die, you will live. And one day your bodies, our bodies, will also rise physically like Jesus' own body. That is our resurrection hope. And these are the facts that we're reminded about as we read of this resurrection story. The first disciples did not expect and did not believe it, but he appeared. And he proved himself to be with them. A large number were convinced. And since then, this gospel has been proclaimed, that Jesus died for our sins and rose again according to the scriptures and was seen by many. So as we are reminded about, as we celebrate Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, will you again consider these facts? Will you be astonished by them? Will you put your trust in Jesus? Will you trust him more? Will you grow to know, to love, and to follow him? Because he is risen. Let's pray.